the identifiers of the country of origin, precisely to keep culture alive, while it also thrives in the midst of the culture into which they have moved, which is why you have things like cultural days. Oh, Lord above. And that's why anyone who thought the Scottish or the Welsh observation there was pertinent, well, now knows better.
On your radio, on Global Player, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midday, Hezbollah's deputy leader has insisted the group is ready if Israel begins a ground invasion of Lebanon. Sheikh Naim Qassem says the group is also preparing to install a new chief following the assassination of Hassan Nasrallah. He was killed in a southern suburb of Beirut on Friday. Middle East expert Professor Amnon Aran says it's not clear what will happen next.
The Israelis now feel that they're on the front foot. They've hit Hezbollah very hard, trying to respond to the Houthi attacks as well. We saw a raid in the port of Hodeidah yesterday. But what the Israelis at the moment are not that clear about is what is the exit strategy? What is the aim that these military attacks are supposed to serve?
Separately, Hamas says its leader in Lebanon has been killed in an Israeli strike in the center of Beirut. Four police officers and a staff member are to face disciplinary proceedings over the David Carrick case. The watchdog has been looking into misconduct investigations against the serial rapist while he was still a serving Metropolitan Police officer. He was eventually arrested in October 2021 and jailed last February. An 18-year-old is set to go on trial next June after a schoolboy was stabbed to death in southeast London. 15-year-old Dejon Campbell was attacked with a zombie knife in Woolwich earlier this month. Jacob Lozovich was remanded in custody at the Old Bailey, while two other teenagers have also been charged. The Conservatives' chief whip has told LBC that the next general election is all to play for. Stuart Andrews says a win wouldn't be easy, but it's already proved a tough few months in office for Labour.
It's in our hands, I think, but we've got to have that moment to reflect, to think, listen to what the electorate said, be honest with ourselves, have some tough discussions amongst ourselves, and then, yes, I do think we could get there.
Rightmove has rejected a fourth offer from an Australian company, majority owned by Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. The property portal has described REA Group's latest bid, worth about £6.2 billion, as unattractive. It set a deadline of 5 o'clock for a best and final proposal. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was down 41 at 82.79. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.19. LBC weather this afternoon, they're staying pretty cloudy with showers for many. Heavy rain in northern parts of England and Wales, a high of 17 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Curtains drawn at dawn. You wake and so does your potential. You don't let it snooze or sit around. You act on it. Run with it. Past the safety of routine and familiarity to somewhere new, because anything is possible if you choose to make it happen.
Whether you're growing your business, switching careers, or just starting out, make the most of your potential. It all starts with skills. Search Skills for Life.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Three minutes after 12 is the time. I don't know, lots of chatter now, but what would you send your children to a cultural day as to highlight their Englishness? I really don't know. Let me just... I'm talking about cultural colonisation, of why Jenrick's completely wrong when he talks about... You'd never ask a Scottish politician about Scottish identity. Identity is something that I think is honed in the crucible of being outnumbered. So in the United Kingdom, the reason why English identity is not as carefully defined and as carefully detailed as perhaps Scottish identity or Welsh identity or Irish identity is because there is no need to. What Jenrick is trying to create is the idea that there is a need to now because there's so many brown people here. But of course, when you ask him what he would do or what he is talking about, he can't answer as Matt Barbette proved during that interview. But I don't know what you'd go as. What would you go as? Would you go as a gamekeeper? What would you go to Cultural Day as if you were trying to... I'd never thought of that before. And it's kind of relevant to the conversation we're going to have next, which takes us once again into probably my favourite area of conversation about our society. It is political, but it's not party political. I love the conversations that we have together about class. I think class and race as the defining obstacles to proper, integrated, loving society. Class and race, the ease with which divisions are hammered into the population upon race or class grounds, is a source of never-ending heartbreak to me. In fact, I wonder whether the class stuff historically does a lot more damage and has now almost been made invisible. You know, the line I used to use all the time in the aftermath of Brexit about cap-doffing and forelock-tugging, because even as someone from a relatively privileged background, I'd look at the way people treated someone like Jacob Rees-Mogg simply because of the way that he spoke, or the mannerisms that he'd adopted at an early age, the kind of penny farthing in human form elements of his... And it used to really upset me. I'd have people on the show who I knew were at least as intelligent as him, but they felt they could somehow defer to his patrician superiority. It's incredible how baked into our society it is. It's a long time since I reminded you of that verse that they don't sing anymore, from All Creatures Great and Small, isn't it? This, to me... Oh, here's this. Is this English or British? What I'm about to say. Maybe this is English identity. This is the kind of thing Robert Jenrick could have offered up, although it wouldn't have helped his case much. The rich man in his castle, the poor man at his gate, God made them high and lowly and ordered their estate. So there's a little bit more social hierarchy for you, a little different from the one that Kemi Badenoch was trying to allude to. But again, if you're poor, you are worth less in the eyes of God than if you are rich. And right up to the royal family, that is a kind of unspoken belief that defines our society. And it is just one of the reasons why I find our conversations, the conversations we have about class, so educational and so helpful. Listen to this. It is rare to see a working class family at the forefront of any TV show, let alone a period drama. The stories that we tell about working class people are often quite grim, quite depressing, patronising caricatures. And this is a comment made by one of the women responsible for turning the best-selling novels of C.L. Skelton into a new TV drama series. It's producers of All Creatures Great and Small. It's called The Hard Acres. It comes from Amy Roberts and Lauren McLaughlin, who wrote Call the Midwife and Our Girl. And they are describing the paucity of content that tells stories about working class people with the complexity and nuance that you routinely get in stories about posh people. And I want to know what that does to a person, to a society. I find it extraordinary about that the interplay between race and class, because immediately I'm reminded of that phrase, you can't be what you can't see, which we normally talk about in the context of race and ethnicity. We normally talk about role models or things to which you can aspire. And gender, of course, is always the third point of this triangle. You know, women need to see women in positions of power in order to believe that they can be women in positions of power. Unless, of course, the woman in a position of power is Kemi Badenoch, in which case her message to other women, if they are suppressed at home, is that we don't want you in this country at all. But generally speaking, those three prongs of social division are best diffused by exposure to what you are. Well, if you're working class, you want to see working class stories on the television, but proper ones. if you are black, you want to see stories of black success. You don't want to see your people who look like you being portrayed as gangsters all the time or as criminals. If you're a Muslim, you'd love to see a story that doesn't cast you as the terrorist. But I want to talk about working class today, as opposed to any of those other distinctions. I'm just pointing out that the central thrust holds true. We do not tell the stories of working class people very well in this country, or certainly not on screen. 20 years ago, it was a little different. And in fact, you look at... So I was thinking of shows that would work as really good examples, and I genuinely don't know, because... I like Brassic. I don't know if you've seen a comedy called Brassic that Sky make, which just, few things make me laugh as much as Brassic does. But it's open to the accusation of caricature, criminality. Shameless, obviously, is a working class depiction, but it's hardly a flattering one in many ways. So what do we mean by that? And what difference does it make? So when you are, recognizing the reality of what's being described here, the stories that we tell about working class people are often quite grim, quite depressing, patronizing or caricatures. What do we want to see? 0345 60 60 973. And what effect? There are three questions always when we have conversations like this. Why does it happen? Why are uplifting positive depictions of working class people so rare on our screens? And you may challenge that. You may tell me that they're not. But looking at it now, I wonder. 0345 60 60 973. So the reason I find this fascinating is because I don't just want to have, you know, we referenced Minder in the last hour. I've got David Jason coming on, full disclosure, soon, which I'm quite excited about. But if you start talking about working class television, you don't just want to say, oh, you know, Minder, Shameless, Brassic, and Only Fools and Horses. You take a series like Downton Abbey, and albeit that it portrays the servant class in similar levels of nuance and complexity as the ruling class, that the given, the context in which it happens, is one of absolutely entrenched hierarchy. I don't know about Boys from the Black Stuff. I think that's what I want to know. What do we lose, or what perhaps do you lose, by not having more television that is avowedly working class? All right, this is the sound of privilege, I think, because I know it's true. It must be true. So what this, here you go. Here's a really good example. The things I really enjoy the most, some of my cultural moments from my youth. I would mention the film Another Country, starring Rupert Everett. The stuff that really touched me, a film called If, by the director Lindsay Anderson, which is set in a school like mine. And it is widely regarded to be one of the 10 best English films ever made. What are your favourite books? Pride and Prejudice, in which the Bennets are portrayed as the church mice. The Bennets are the poor people in Pride and Prejudice. And you know, that they have a private income, albeit not a very generous one, and the two oldest daughters end up marrying two of the richest men in the country. And they are portrayed as the kind of plucky outsiders clawing their way into society. You don't get much in Jane Austen about the people who are emptying their bedpans or cooking their dinner. When I use the word privilege, I'm always trying to work out where I'd be if I'd gone down a different path in life. So I have got cultural references that I recognise coming out of my ears. If I had grown up on a council estate, what would I look at as the art that describes my life? And the answer is there isn't a lot. And what do you lose as a consequence of that? I could talk about soap operas, which I think are hugely undervalued in this country by a rather snobbish artistic elite. The quality of writing, acting and filmmaking, particularly on Coronation Street over the years, has been absolutely exceptional, and yet very rare. It happens more so now as you make the breakthrough. You can be Saran Jones or I nearly said Raquel Wollstonecraft then. I mean Sarah Lancashire. But do you see what I mean? I don't. What the relationship between class and culture is one that I can't really describe or explore without your help, because I am very, very much of my own class. So what would change if we had more television and more filmmaking telling stories about working class people? What would actually change? Hit the numbers now, you will get through. 0345 6060973. It's always criminals, or always dealing with deprivation or poverty, domestic abuse or violence, criminality, all of these cliches that seem to me to be much, much more prevalent in dramas or comedies that are about, quotes, working class people, end quotes. You need more representation on television. The question really is why. Why do you need more representation of working class people on television? And what are the consequences of its absence? 0345 6060973. I suppose I'm asking that if you grew up working class and you never see experiences like yours on television or on screen, or if you do, they're always or almost always negative, what does it do? What does it do? What's the difference between you and me? Because I see my existence reflected back at me on television screens all the time. And when you see people from backgrounds like yours, you see criminals and gangsters or... That's what I'm trying to pin down, okay? And I really, really need your help. I think you're right, Charlotte, that that is why Gavin and Stacey is so loved, because that managed to portray an outwardly quite average working-class family, I think, just about middle-class, working-class. I don't know, but I want to know what we are missing by not doing more, and I want to know why you think historically we don't make more television programmes about people who are more like the audience than we currently do. It's 1216 0345 6060 973.
This is LBC.
Right now, in communities across the UK, people like Flo are struggling.
I'm 11 years old. I'm a carer for my mum.
LBC's charity, Global's Make Some Noise, funds vital projects and offers assistance to those who need it most, including those that give young carers support and counselling.
You don't feel like you're alone as much anymore.
You can help change lives across the UK. Donate to Global's Make Some Noise and help people like Flo. Proudly supported by Furniture Village.
With the biggest range of cars to buy entirely online, it's no wonder everyone's cinching it.
I cinched it during spin class. I think I'm going to be sick.
I cinched it in this coffee shop.
What are you having?
A five-door hatchback.
This is your captain speaking. I cinched it before takeoff with a 14-day money-back guarantee.
With so many great reasons to buy, the nation aren't just nailing it, they're cinching it. Comparison against equivalent retailers. Visit cinch.co.uk/range claim. Mileage restrictions and terms apply.
The Monopoly game is back at McDonald's. With over 70 million prizes up for grabs, like McDonald's food, 21 electric minis, and 5 lots of 100 grand. New Monopoly Power Peel at McDonald's. Peel on pack, make moves in app. 18 plus, UK only. Ends 15th of October. Selected menu items only. Subject to availability. App may be required. See mcdrules.co.uk.
As a nation, we're a generous lot. You could say giving is in our blood. And right now, we need all of you giving types to give blood and help provide life-saving treatments. Blood is amazing. It can help combat cancer, ease emergencies, help fight sickle cell, and create life-saving medicines. So, please book an appointment and give blood now. We have lots of appointments available at convenient times, and our donor centres are based in the heart of cities. It takes an hour to save up to 3 lives. If you're the giving type, please book an appointment at blood.co.uk today.
James O'Brien on LBC.
It is 18 minutes after 12. So here's the challenge, really. Think of drama or comedy that depicts working class people that isn't grim, for want of a better word. It's not grim. Or, in the case of a lot of comedy shows, it sort of portrays people as a little bit stupid. So what does this do to a society, this absence of representation? And why do we put up with it? Is it because the arts are full of people like me? Full of people that went to schools like mine? It could be that simple. Linda's in Glasgow. Linda, what would you like to say?
Hi, well, your last point just kind of made my point for me. My background, I'm in Glasgow, but for years and years I lived in London, hence yes. The accent, and my husband was a black cabbie, and we've often spoken about some of the stories he has to tell. He's a cab driver for a couple of decades.
Yes.
And we've often spoke about some of his stories and how to make great TV.
Yes.
And he's like, I don't know that, you know, anyone would really want to hear it.
So what
we're left with is good. Maybe you can put me in touch with someone. Part of the stories and do a bit of writing, come up with something.
So this is chicken and egg, right?
Yeah, well, so to a broader point, and my opinion on this is still forming. You just got me thinking.
That's what I do. on a good day.
I think the problem is at the moment, TV, media, and writing is largely taken up with people from middle-class backgrounds.
Yes.
The reason we get caricatures is because they've got a rather caricatured idea of how we live. And it's something that I've complained about for years about Scottish programmes. We're all portrayed as drug addicts and alcoholics.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea of the English working class is, you know, scammers like the people in Brassic, which, by the way, is great writing.
It's such a great show.
Love the programme. However,
it's not exactly flattering. It's not exactly flattering,
no,
is it?
None of it shows us in a flattering light. And I think for that, for there to be a sea change...
But do you know that...
We need to create opportunity for people like us with real stories to tell, to come forward. And the fact that it isn't, and we're left with these caricatures, really for me just embeds that...
Go on.
There's a ceiling there. There's a ceiling. People well,
why,
like
why does it? Why,
write,
so so you're answering the
programs.
Question. I was about to ask you, why does it matter? And you're answering the question, really, of aspiration and horizons, aren't you?
Yes. People like me are not given those opportunities to do that. And I think if we were, we would see those caricatures change. So it's really about opportunity, aspiration, and people like me with ideas and real stories to tell,
just not
getting the opportunity
having somewhere to go with them, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, well, you know, the thing about privilege or private education or whatever phrase you want to use is actually confidence. Confidence and contacts are the things that... So I know people who absolutely reasonably think, oh, I think I might write a film script. And some of them actually get a film made. But that belief that they don't all, of course, but they all know someone who knows someone they can show it to. And that's what you're describing, is not knowing someone who knows someone who can help, really.
Yeah, who would I go see?
But why does this happen, though? Why does this happen, though? Because look at Kemi Badenoch's comments about working at McDonald's, making her working class. And please remember, before you start sniggering, that she never, ever makes any gaffes, and she thinks so carefully about everything she says that she never has to clarify or apologise for anything. But so
middle... Don't even get me started. I know I've had a Twitter diatribe about her. Anyway,
we all like those. But middle-class people sometimes fetishise the working class. We're all a little bit guilty sometimes of dialing down our class in this generation instead of dialing it up, which was a previous thing. So why are all these middle-class commissioning editors who probably drop their G's and their T's and try and hide some of the evidence of their own historical privilege, why are they not actually making more programmes about the people that they sort of want to be?
Because I don't think they really want to be them. And again, it's who they come into contact with. I've read a recent statistic, even within acting itself, there are fewer and fewer people, you know, making it in acting who come from normal backgrounds. So many of those have gone to the right schools and mixed with the right people and meet directors and writers who think they'd just be great for a role. And I think class, I mean, race, you know, caricature TV programs aside, class is the biggest obstacle in this country. Class and the drivers that help working class people like me with stories to tell. Come
where do
to
you
the
go
fall.
With those stories? And to be fair, Glasgow is probably a better place to be than almost anywhere else in the UK.
Well,
certainly, theatrically.
My son is a musician.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I've moved, he plays live music. He's
So briefly, sorry, I'm not glossing over your pride in your boy. It's lovely to hear. But briefly, what would change long term by the time your boy is your age? If you could turn your television on and you were as likely to see a story about a working class family from Glasgow or Gateshead or Birmingham or Bolton as you were to see yet another sort of 19th century recreation of life in a stately home, what would change by the time your boy was your age?
I would like to see less of that and more like, you know, stories that like my husband.
Yeah, but what would change for him? How would his life or the world be different?
I think he'd feel more represented, and that anyone can will have the ability to tell their story.
I like that. So the stories are equal. They're of equal value. The story of an ordinary person from an ordinary background living an ordinary life is of equal value to the story of someone born with a silver spoon up their nose, or somebody born in the lap of luxury or the lap of privilege. I'd go further. I don't want to put words in anybody else's mouth, but I'd go further about ruling, the right to rule. You know, you look at how Keir Starmer is mocked for describing himself as the son of a toolmaker, and the idea that he's behaved on a way that's morally comparable to Boris Johnson's serial depravity and blatant lying because he accepted some suits from a colleague. They're telling him he's not allowed to rule. They're telling him to get back in his box. And the worst, the most violent offenders in the context of telling people from a working-class background to know their place are often other working-class people who have somehow been persuaded that that the likes of them have no business at top table. Awful lot of the coverage. The Daily Mail's owned by a Viscount, right? A Viscount. Keir Starmer's not allowed to be Prime Minister? Or he's not fit to be Prime Minister? Or because he has taken suits from a colleague, he is somehow immoral? Boris Johnson, still getting 22 pages of the Daily Mail. 22 pages over 3 days in which the exercise of blowing smoke up his posterior has been honed to an art form. Boris Johnson's not even proper posh. He put it on. He put it on like his tailcoat when he was at Eton. His parents, like mine, have paid to transfer him from one class to another. But he plays the game. He knows the rules. So he's allowed to be Prime Minister despite riding roughshod over all of the things that keep the working class in their place. Keir Starmer, son of a toolmaker, how dare you? How dare you? I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking it, but if you had a few more stories about people from ordinary backgrounds making their way to power rather than still hanging on this sort of post-Victorian notion that some people are born to rule, the rich man in his castle, the poor man at his gate. God made them high and lowly and ordered their estate. So you get back in your box, you pleb. Elaine's in Richmond. Elaine, what would you like to say?
Hi.
Hello.
So many things that you just said that I'm going pop, pop, pop in my brain
now.
Oh,
that's a relief.
First of all, I'm an actor and a singer. I'm a performer, and I have to take exception to what the lady previously to me, although okay, a lot of what she said was great. There are opportunities. I'm working class. My daughter's working class. There are many, many more opportunities for people from all sorts of cultural backgrounds than ever before, especially black, mixed race and other cultures, to come into acting in Britain. So
overall there are, but I think things have gone a bit backwards, actually, since the sort of days of, not least because you can't go to drama school anymore unless you can raise the money privately. So obviously
You can. My daughter went to RADA and we got the maximum, I mean, she'll be paying it back for the rest of her life, but we got the maximum maintenance and loan because of my low income, because of being a jobbing actor.
Okay.
And in her year, there were only two people who came from wealthy backgrounds.
So why are all the famous ones, people like Benedict Cumberbatch and Eddie Redmayne?
Oh, they're not all.
Are they
come
not?
On. No, my goodness me,
well,
no.
I think it's gone backwards a bit. Rather than you described a brave new world of equal opportunity, I think things have got worse since I was in my 20s, not better. I could be wrong. Well, you're closer to the action than I am.
They've got much better. I went to Birmingham Drama School, which was considered a working-class drama school. You know, Julie Walters, Toya Wilcox, me, people like that. They were all working-class actors. Manchester Drama School's very successful. Lipper in Liverpool.
So what difference would it make if... Well, first of all, why aren't there more stories on screen about working-class people that are not grim or stereotypical or offensive? And secondly, what difference would it make if there were?
I think I just said to your producer that I believe that they are in reality TV, James.
For example,
for me, Gogglebox has been a revolutionary program that shows a lot of very ordinary families from all sorts of backgrounds sitting on their sofas, crying their eyes out because they're moved, they're warm, they're supported, and they have a moral compass. And I think that reality TV, some of it, like Gogglebox, has actually shown a lot of ordinary families in Britain. And I think it has a value. My friends that live overseas, when they watch it, they're moved by the programme. They're like, wow.
It's not a drama, though, is it? I mean, in a way, you prove the point. It's you know, we can come and we'll come and voyeuristically watch you on your sofa, but we're not going to make a story about your life.
Well, when I was young, they used to be When the Boat Comes In. That was a Geordie programme.
That's a long time ago. Oh, no offence, but that is a long time.
No, it is. I'm 66. No, it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I think working class drama, it isn't only in soaps. This Is England was in the last 10, 15 years. That was about working class Britain.
No, they exist, but not on anything like the scale that the middle class experience, or indeed the upper class experience, which is a tiny proportion of our society.
I know. I mean, I'm quite astonished by the success of things like Downton, because I don't believe it to be necessarily quality drama. I believe it to be mundane and repetitive and not as good as Upstairs Downstairs.
So. No, well, Upstairs Downstairs was much more nuanced. And that's, I mean, Downton's a really good example. I think the bloke that wrote it went to my school, just to drive home even further how tiny the kind of receptacles of privilege can be. But why do people like that answer? Because there is a kind of, I think, a latent deference, a latent forelock tugging. You know, we'll watch the lives of the our betters. I hate that word. Probably if I had, could remove any word or any concept from the English language, it would be the notion of our betters, or that, well, it's not for the likes of us. And I think that is why these programmes aren't made, or they don't exist on the same scale that tales of tiny parts of the population, the aristocracy, for example. How many stories are there about aristocrats? And how many stories are there about normal people? And then how many normal people are there? And how many aristocrats are there? It's crazy. It's 12:31. Jenny Barsby has your headlines.
An Israeli official says special forces are conducting operations inside Lebanon ahead of a potential ground assault. They're designed to gather intelligence and locate Hezbollah's positions. Four police officers and a member of staff are to face disciplinary proceedings over the David Carrick case. The watchdog's looking into what actions were taken by the Metropolitan Police after four reports of serious offending were made against him in 2002 and 2021. And Scotland's minimum price for a unit of alcohol has risen from 50 to 65 pence. The policy, designed to tackle Scotland's high rate of alcohol deaths, was a world first when it was introduced in 2018. LBC weather, wet and windy for much of England and Wales, brighter elsewhere with highs of 17 degrees.
LBC. I'm very proud to launch my new M&S Food and Tom Kerridge Gastropub range. It's taken years of hard work to bring the flavours of my restaurants to the shelves of M&S. So choose a main, side, and either a starter or a dessert in the Gastropub dine-in. For your starter, try my pork pate made with pork belly, bacon, and roasted mushrooms, then topped with a chicken stock glaze. This is not just food. This is Tom Kerridge and M&S Gastropub food. Subject to availability, T's and C's apply.
Making mochi at a homestay in Japan. Finding the best banh mi in Hanoi with the help of a local. Camping with wildlife rangers in South Africa. The best parts of travel happen when you find yourself in that place, at that moment, with those people. And a small group tour with Intrepid Travel will bring you plenty of those moments. For thousands of experiences in over 100 countries, visit intrepidtravel.com. Only Intrepid.
As a nation, we're a generous lot. You could say giving is in our blood. And right now, we need all of you giving taps to give blood and help provide life-saving treatments. Blood is amazing. It can help combat cancer, ease emergencies, help fight sickle cell, and create life-saving medicines. So, please book an appointment and give blood now. We have lots of appointments available at convenient times, and our donor centres are based in the heart of cities. It takes an hour to save up to 3 lives. If you're the giving type, please book an appointment at blood.co.uk today.
Hello, you. High energy bills that keep changing can leave you feeling powerless. At Uswitch, our energy experts are working hard to bring you lower prices, exclusive deals, and more choice. Fix your deal now and take the power back. Uswitch. We put you first.
The British Airways end of summer sale has landed. Just as you're about to return to the chaos of weekday mornings. First gear for miles down the motorway. Piles of paperwork, quick or nothing dinners, commutes with no personal space. You deserve another break. Find thousands of flights and holidays in the British Airways end of summer sale. Subject to availability. Sale ends 1st of October. Holidays are atoll protected. Terms and conditions apply. Visit ba.com/sale.
James O'Brien on LBC.
12:34 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where the conversation about the lack of working class representation on television is one that I need your help with, because I can't really tell you what effect it has upon people to not be represented. I'm hugely overrepresented. I'm so well represented that the bloke who wrote Downton Abbey went to my school. I think I should probably check that actually before I say it again. Rupert Everett went to my school. Hoping to get him on Full Disclosure soon. If you know him, have a word, will you? What's it like not to be represented? Who knows? How do you know what it's like not to be represented? It's like asking somebody what moon rock tastes like. What does moon rock taste? I don't know. I've never had any moon rock. What is it like not to be represented? There it is. It's taken me a while to get there, but that's exactly where I wanted to be at 12 o'clock today. How do you explain to someone represented, and it is people who are represented in culture, who make all of the decisions about commissioning, almost all, what it's like to be unrepresented, or why it is important to be represented? Michael describes them as middle-class white dudes. There's a lot of that around. Representation is very important, and then it ends up being patronising. Real representation. So that's why you reach for Coronation Street. To a lesser extent, EastEnders, but only a lesser extent because it has more sensational storylines, historically, than Coronation Street. I'm probably not qualified to make that comparison in recent years, but I certainly used to be. Why does representation matter? That I can work out, because you can't see what you can't be, or rather you can't be what you can't see. But how does it feel if you're unrepresented? How do you even know what it feels like? Because you don't know what being represented feels like. Oh, boy. Hit the numbers now. You will get through. Desiree is in Hornchurch. Desiree, what would you like to say?
Hello. Hello. I would basically like to say that I'm a black woman and I have a son who is 4 years old. Right. He's in primary school. And I think being an adult now and looking back at how I was not represented, and still my son years later is not represented on TV. And, you know, when you watch children's programs and things like that as well, when I was younger, I reached for more American channels. So there was things called One on One, Moesha. They were all American. There wasn't a lot of programs here in the UK, British programs, that represented myself, someone who's black, brown. Even the programs, you wouldn't see someone that had a character that had a hijab on, things like that. And even now, you look, and I go onto Netflix or CBeebies, the only one on CBeebies that you have at the moment is JoJo and Gran-Gran, which is absolutely amazing. But then I'm still reaching for Netflix, where it's those, you know, programs and series that are, you know, abroad in America. And it shouldn't be that. I think that in every single way possible that a child looks, they should feel represented. Same thing, you know, when they go into a toy store or they go into a supermarket. I actually own a toy brand, which is for children. And the reason why I created that was because there was no representation when I was pregnant with my son. I was given flashcards and it basically had all white characters. So, yes, we live in a country where it's predominantly white, but it's not just white people. So it's like every era we look at, even if it's like billboards, there should be somewhere that people can say, that looks like me, or that looks like my niece, or that looks like someone I know, you know?
I think for people like me, it's so much easier to understand it with ethnicity, because you can see it. Yeah. And you can see colour, you know, it's absolutely, I forgive the simplicity of this observation, but it's there in black and white. Can you do the same thing with class? Can you describe what you've just described to me with reference to class? I think that's a bit harder.
I think when it comes to class, because
when you look at white middle class and black middle class, people see it different. So you could have someone who is a white individual and a black individual, and people would probably look down on someone who's black middle class because of the stereotype of black women and black men. So already, you know, I've got friends who, they might be walking down the road and someone crosses over because it's a black man. But if it was a white man, it would be completely different. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I do, but I don't know why that... I mean, what? I'm not in any way trying to move you away from your central point, but the phone-in we're having is specifically about a lack of working-class content on television. So that's why I talk about it being easy to see the presence or the absence of colour. But what would a world in which there was more working class represent? For example, how would children's television be more working class? How would there be more representation of working class people on children's television?
I think if they just allowed more people on.
But who are we talking about? People who sound like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins?
I think it's people behind the scenes, you know, because a lot of these programs on TV have been there for decades, and I think things need to be, you know, changed up. Where you've got
Anton Deck. I mean, I don't want to be lazy, but I mean, I can't say. I mean,
individuals.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm focusing on class because that's what the entire phone-in is about.
Okay, and if we use an example, you've got Rochelle Humes and Marvin Humes.
Yeah?
That's a perfect example. They've recently, I don't know how long it's been, but I think they're on this kind of music TV show or something. And if we sit down and try and name five, you know, let's say TV shows, you can't actually, a majority of them are white. How does that change? It's the people behind the scenes. Because those are the people who are choosing the right people that need to be on TV. And you can't say that there isn't one black mixed race or person who's Asian that is not right. It's because they know this is what
I'm not disputing anything you're saying. I'm just not hearing much about class, about the working class experience on television and the way in which it would affect people. I guess it's helpful. You imagine what it would be like if you're white working class. It's easy to see black people on television, so that is probably, for me, it's helpful. Okay, you don't know what it's like not to be able to see any white working class people on television. Well, imagine being black and not seeing any black people on television. And quite a few people, and I'm sure you wouldn't disagree, Desiree, pointing out that in many ways the ethnicity representation seems to be getting better with every passing year. But again, you know, it's easy to say. You've got to feel it, to live it. It's a different proposition entirely. What does representation of more black people on television look like? Easy. More black people on television. Ideally not playing gangsters or criminals or roles that are stereotyping or cliched. What does more working class people on television look like? What does more working class stories on television look like? In many ways, you draw this comparison and it makes the question more acute. I find it easy to describe improved representation of ethnic minorities on television and stories. But what would improved representation of working class people and stories on television look like? You see, I don't know. Felipe's in Harrow. Felipe, what would you like to say?
Hey, James. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome.
I think it's a great question. And I fear I'm not going to sort of move on or find an answer, but maybe that's okay. And I'm just sitting here thinking about sort of, and your producer helped me figure this out together, that there's a sort of inevitability to what you're describing. And let me just sort of lay out a sort of flow chart that I think kind of happens. It's sort of like working class artists and creators wanting to make a show, a series, or whatever it might be, tell their story. And if you want that story to be authentic, then it probably will have really difficult bits in it and things that maybe portray the working class experience as hard, and that might include things that become stereotypes like alcoholism or family struggles or the rest of it. And if you get a really authentic piece of art from that, then it kind of just perpetuates the class divide and the stereotypes that we're describing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, actually.
And so then it's a really like nuanced conversation, therefore, about sort of, or should we tell stories that are maybe less authentic, but slightly more generic that we see working class people.
So that worked.
Sort of it.
So we'll commission. So that works. So we'll commission something a bit like that, and to commission outside your comfort zone.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's part of the
Let me read you something. Yeah. This is from someone I know, but it's come as a direct message, so I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's someone who many years ago I really wanted to work for, actually. So I make dramas, but no commissioner is interested in telling working class stories because they don't understand them. They want pretty houses. They want lives that they recognise because it helps them retain their power. And there are so few commissioners that it's the same people over and over again making the same decisions. Commissioners feel disempowered if areas are covered that do not reflect their own backgrounds. And in my experience, most drama producers are the same. That, I think, is a companion piece to your contribution, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I was actually in Brassic, and what you which you said was you know, one of the
blimey, this is, there's a twist.
Yeah, fantastic. I was in it. I'm an actor, so but and I think that's true. But Brassic, so the interesting thing about Brassic is that Joe Gilgan, who's the main dude and the guy that wrote it, I think he worked really, really hard to tell that story and had to sort of maybe produce it himself. I don't know that for sure, but it seems like that's the case.
To get it made. Sort of.
To get it made, you need to have those conversations. And as you quite rightly said before, you either need the confidence or the contacts. And if you're not a working class artist with a heck of a lot of confidence, then, I mean, good luck to you.
Yeah, so and that really then becomes unrepresentative, because to have that level of chutzpah or swagger or whatever you want to call it, it puts you in a different constituency of people from the ones whose stories you want to tell. Are you Felipe Pacheco?
I am, yeah.
So you're in Frantic Assembly as well.
Yes, I was, yeah.
Man, we love We love that. My daughter did that at her GCSE for drama. She studied your work. She loved all that.
The Metamorphosis, I think.
Yeah,
I think you might have mentioned it on Twitter at some point as well. Yeah, I was in that, yeah.
I love that. thanks, man. What are you doing at the moment? I know that's always a slightly loaded question to ask an actor.
Well, it's good. I'm currently working on Tim Crouch's new play at the Unicorn Theatre, London Bridge. So we're going to open this weekend. So.
Well, break a leg.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And we'll talk again. God, I love it when stuff like that happens. It is 12:46.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty.
Is the UK government right to urge restraint from Israel in the face of Iranian-backed terror groups Hamas and Hezbollah determined to destroy it?
Sheila Fogarty on LBC.
Did you know you could get the winter fuel payment or the equivalent in Scotland if you get pension credit? Pension credit is worth, on average, £3,900 per year and gives you help with other living costs. It's for people aged 66 or over and on a low income. Check the online eligibility calculator today to see if you're entitled. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. Eligibility criteria apply.
With the biggest range of cars to buy entirely online, it's no wonder everyone's cinching it.
I cinched it during spin class. I think I'm going to be sick.
I cinched it in this coffee shop.
What are you having?
A five-door hatchback.
This is your captain speaking. I cinched it before takeoff with a 14-day money-back guarantee.
With so many great reasons to buy, the nation aren't just nailing it, they're cinching it. Comparison against equivalent retailers. Visit cinch.co.uk/range claim. Mileage restrictions and terms apply.
When did the Falklands War end? What about the war in Afghanistan? What a second war in Iraq? For many, the battle continues. Years after the fighting stopped, there are thousands of veterans who still suffer isolation, fear, nightmares as a result of what they've experienced. Combat Stress provides intensive mental health treatment to UK veterans with complex mental health problems. Combat Stress, for veterans' mental health. To find out more, go to combatstress.org.uk.
EasyJet's Big Orange Sale is now on, with up to £200 off package holidays. Book now with just a £60 per person deposit. Search EasyJet Holidays. Selected dates up to the 31st of the 3rd, 26. Book by 11 p.m. the 1st of the 10th, 24. Deposit available up to 28 days before departure. Minimum spend required. T's and C's apply. Atoll protected.
Welcome to Able & Cole, where inconvenience is a good thing. We'll only deliver to your area once a week.
It reduces carbon emissions.
Our food costs a bit more.
We pay farmers fairly.
And our broccoli won't last as long.
Because we don't do preservatives or unnecessary plastic.
An inconvenience store is better for the planet and tastes better too.
Join the thousands of people choosing Inconvenience. Search Abel and Cole and order groceries online today. Difficult tastes better. Abel and Cole.
Leading Britain's conversation. LBC with James O'Brien.
It is 12:49. Highlights from Conservative Party conference. Kemi Badenoch has just declared that there are too many podcasts. I mean, I thought these people believed in the free market. Didn't they? I don't know. And also, Liz Truss has said the country is already socialist. I don't know why Liz Truss is there. She's not even a Conservative MP anymore, but I do find the long list of people Liz Truss blames for Liz Truss endlessly fascinating. Liz Truss, welcome. Welcome to the stage. Who do you blame for Liz Truss? Well, I blame eco-zealots and trans activists in the civil service. I blame the woke mind blob. Was that her? I blame the socialists. I blame the economic establishment. I blame the sunlight. I blame the sunshine. I blame the moonlight. I blame the good times. And I also blame the boogie. Liz Truss, just run us through once again who you blame for Liz Truss, would you? I blame the world and also his wife. I mean, it is extraordinary that she is still, well, I don't know if she is actually. I presume most people who've turned up at that meeting have turned up for the comedy value, in which case they won't have been disappointed. We're talking about working class representation on screen, and you can hear me groping in the dark towards a moment of realisation. Probably best illustrated by the ease with which you can portray the importance of ethnic minority representation on screen. You're growing up black in Britain. If you didn't see any black people on screen, it's easy to imagine the impact that that would have on you. But if you are working class, you suffer from a similar malaise. Or again, but there are parallels to be drawn. The only people you see are negatively portrayed, either stereotypes, caricatures, or you know, or worse. So what does it do? Why does it happen? I love that comment from my anonymous friend talking about commissioning editors being too frightened to commission anything that's outside their own sphere of experience. And then Felipe, himself an actor who appeared in one of the shows that I've referenced as a essentially working class entertainment, Brassic, describing how the lack of risk taking. Knit those two together, and a lot of this begins to make sense. Rax is in Surbiton. Rax, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. Hi. I've just been listening to what you've been saying, and it really resonated with me. I'm Asian. I'm from London. I'm 46 years old. When I was growing up in Harrow, there was this cry in my household every time there was a non-white person on TV. My dad used to shout it, my mum used to shout it, my sister shout it. We'd come running down the stairs. We had one black and white TV, then we got colour.
I was going to say, how would you know? It's like watching the snooker.
Exactly. And my dad watched a lot of black and white snooker.
Yeah,
but it was Trevor MacDonald, Maurice Stewart, Gareth Wilmot, Lenny Henry, if there was an Asian person on TV, it would be wow, and it would be our talking point for the whole day.
Yeah.
It felt so good. It really just like wow. And it depends, if it was a brown person on Crime Watch, it wasn't so great.
That doesn't count. Well, I suppose it's a reconstruction, so it would have been an actor at least, wouldn't it?
Yeah, or even a documentary or something. And it meant a lot. You know, I grew up in a borough in London where a lot of my friends were from all backgrounds, but all we saw was one particular background. It was white, middle class.
What does it do then? What does it? Does it tell you there are more doors open to you than you would otherwise have realised?
Yeah, so one thing that I would perhaps challenge you on, James, is that, one would hope that things have changed. And I think they have changed quite a lot, because I see it in how I feel when I turn on TV in whatever format that is.
Mm.
And I was telling your producer, EastEnders was a massive deal in my house, massive deal in my life, actually. And I've not watched it for a few years, and maybe I should have continued, but I saw the very first episode of EastEnders. I saw how it, encapsulated East End life. And now if you go to East End London, funny, but it's not a homogenous white experience.
No.
Throughout the years, EastEnders represented people like me.
That's class as well. What would the class equivalent be? Because you sound quite middle class. I don't know if that's how you see yourself.
My dad was a postie. Yeah. I'm not.
Well, so it's just the southeast twang, isn't it? But yeah, what would class representation be? What would the? Because again, I find it much easier to see what you describe than I would to see the class question treated similarly.
It's interesting because I think in somewhere in the late 80s and 90s, early 90s, Channel 4 decided to do a soap opera on the Asian experience, and it was a very middle class deal. It didn't really last that long. I can't remember.
Sure, you didn't dream it.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure because in our house, you know, everyone cried. You know, there's a brown person on TV, so we watched it, and it was a great drama. But it wasn't my experience of life. It wasn't. Okay. So having a working class families on EastEnders, and you mentioning soaps before, it was so important in my household because it's not just a one-off drama. It's a regular kind of focus on what do these families do? What do they think? How do they live? How do they interact?
It isn't a coincidence that we're all finding it easier to talk about representation through the lens of race than we are through the lens of class. Mm. And although there's a huge amount of interplay and crossover, I guess the question is, what is the difference between a middle-class childhood and a working-class childhood? So, that's much harder to answer than the difference between growing up white and growing up black.
No, you're right. And I think sometimes I don't watch a lot of live TV. I watch a lot of Netflix series and Brassic. I'm glad Felipe rang because I'm a massive fan of Brassic. But a lot of these are self-selecting. And I think that the beauty of showing something like Corrie or my mum, for example, she lives by herself. She's elderly. She's got Parkinson's. Mm. She watches religiously Emmerdale, Corrie, and EastEnders, and just see herself represented. I think it's more important than me seeing myself represented because she feels part of the community. Okay. And up until now, you know, these soaps have kind of either got it really right or really wrong. So there was a phase in the 90s or the early 2000s when they brought an Asian family into EastEnders. It went really bad because it was written by white people.
Well, there you go. There's an answer to the question about what goes wrong. There's hardly any. In fact, when they got rid of Doctors, which is quite a recent decision, that has really wrecked things for an awful lot of working class writers. In drama, in TV drama. Rax, I'm cracking on just because I want to squeeze in one more call. But I think you're talking about Family Pride. Was that the show, Family Pride?
I think it was.
Quite a lot of people had their memory piqued there by you. Stephen is in Walthamstow with the last word on this. What's it going to be, Stephen?
Hi, boss.
Hello, mate.
Hello. I've just got to say that there are some programs that are out at the moment. They're actually on this one. There's a particular show on Netflix called Supercell.
Love it.
And it's actually written by a black
Man.
Producer.
It's written
called
by Rap Man.
Yes. That's the one.
I know it will.
It's a great.
So that is a black working class experience. Albeit that no spoilers here, but albeit that they turn out to be superheroes. Again, it's easier to see the representation of black people in Supercell than it is to see the representation of working class people.
Totally agree with you. But I think it combines the two pretty well because it actually educates people about the disease of sickle cell, and it actually watching it, it puts a smile on your face. It actually's got a good feel to it. There's a story behind it, and it gets you on edge. And I personally think that. What's out at the moment? There's nothing like that. There's nothing like a show that's actually showing those kind of programs.
I wonder how that got commissioned. It'd be interesting to see, wouldn't it? I wonder how that got commissioned and whether it tallies with these comments and contributions about commissioning editors or the people in whose gift these shows are having a fear, if you like, of commissioning anything they're not familiar with or not comfortable with, for understandable reasons. But I wonder what the story of Supercell coming to our screens was, because that must have been some pitch meeting in which having sickle cell essentially also imbues you with superpowers. And it is an almost exclusively black sort of top-line cast as well. Thank you, mate. I love that moment when Felipe revealed he'd been in Brassic, and then Dhirendra's been in touch to say, thanks for that, James, I was actually in Family Pride. It's Showbiz Central, this. We need a green room. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player, where you can also pause and rewind live radio, as well as listen to a range of podcasts. Don't tell Kemi Badenoch, will you? She's just told Tory Conference that there are too many podcasts. Download it now for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's Tom Swarbrick, but now, as you may have gathered, it's Sheila Fogarty.
Thank you, James. At 3 today, Sean Linton joins me, health journalist, possibly the best health journalist in the UK right now, in my view. He broke a story over the weekend, shocking story about the diagnosis of children with hearing problems. Many wrongly told that their hearing is fine, when it wasn't, and they went on to experience developmental delay for want of a simple hearing aid. This is happening in a number of different parts of the UK. Have you been affected? We'll talk about those comments from Kemi Badenoch on some cultures having more value than others, but I want to start in the Middle East again, I'm afraid, as Benjamin Netanyahu decides escalation against Hezbollah is the course of action he's going to take. Is the UK government right to urge restraint at this point?
On your radio, on Global Player, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, Hezbollah's deputy leaders insisted the group is ready if Israel begins a ground invasion of Lebanon. Sheikh Naim Qassem has been speaking after an apparent Israeli airstrike hit Beirut for the first time in the current conflict. Israel hasn't commented but has claimed responsibility for killing Hamas's leader in Lebanon in an overnight operation. The former head of the British Army, Lord Dannett, says Israel could still send in troops.
Whether the Israelis will do that will be their judgment as whether they feel they need to do that, whether they're making enough success in Lebanon, in southern Lebanon, with the very successful airstrikes that they've been conducting with some massive weapons. That's a judgment call, which I don't think they've decided on.
Four police officers and a staff member are to face disciplinary proceedings over the David Carrick case. The watchdog's been looking into how the Metropolitan Police dealt with four allegations against the serial rapist while he was a serving officer. He was eventually arrested in October 21 and jailed last February. An 18-year-old is set to go on trial next June after a schoolboy was stabbed to death in southeast London. 15-year-old Dejon Campbell was attacked with a zombie knife in Woolwich earlier this month. Jacob Lozovich was remanded in custody at the Old Bailey. Two other teenagers have now been charged. Two of the Tory leadership candidates will face members' questions at the party conference later. Tom Tugendhat and Kemi Badenoch will take to the main stage in Birmingham this afternoon. Yesterday, Rishi Sunak told the conference that the party must stop squabbling if they want to win back voters' trust. Despite that, Scottish Tory MP Andrew Bowie told LBC he thinks the Tories can get back into number 10.
If we get the policies right, if we get our platform right, if we talk to the British people about issues that concern them and they want to see a rest, then I think we can offer a positive, optimistic vision for the future, completely at odds with the doom and gloom being espoused by the current occupants of number 10 and number 11 at Downing Street.
And a bulletproof vest emblazoned with the Union flag by Banksy has been put up for sale. Sotheby's estimates the item will fetch